Good morning, everyone. This is Don Forbes, Chair of the Port Ludlow Drainage District Commission, and I hereby call our meeting to order for Thursday, October 8th, 2020. We continue to operate under the Governor's Proclamation 20-28 that waives in-person meetings, so this will be wholly a telephonic meeting. Before we go further, just for the record, let me describe what our agenda looks like, and then I'll go ahead and call for a roll call. First item was call to order, then roll call, agenda approval. Item number four will be public forum. If any members of the public have joined us and want to speak, they will have the opportunity then. Item number five will be engineering reports. Number six will be new business, seven, old business. Number eight will be commissioners' reports and comments. Number nine will be our consent agenda. Number 10, signing documents, and that we can do within the five business days, but it's noted here on the agenda. And finally, we will adjourn with item number 11. So with that overview, let me call for the roll. Commission one position is vacant. I'm Don Forbes, Commissioner two.
Deborah Hellison, Commissioner 3.
Cammy Brown.
All right, and do we now? Thank you, Cammy. And I think, Nancy, we have you on as well.
All right, Nancy Lockett, Grand Osborne.
All right, thank you. Agenda approval. Do I have a motion to approve today's agenda as briefly described?
Chairman Forbes, I would like to add two items to the agenda prior to approval. The first one, under engineering reports, we had just in the last day received another site plan review from Engineer Lockett. So it kind of makes sense we go ahead and look at that one today as well, as long as Nancy has it available to go over with us.
And yeah, then that's good.
Okay, and then the second one is under six, new business. I'd like to add a number C, which is discussion of consolidating two of our bank accounts.
Excellent. Those sound like good additions. So
so with those additions, I make a motion to approve the agenda.
I'll second, and those of us in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
All right, so we have approved agenda. Item number four, public forum. Do we have any members of the public that have logged on to this call?
No, just the four people who have already presented themselves.
Okay, then we'll move on. Nancy, agenda item number five is yours, the engineering reports, and it sounds like we have two site plan reviews.
Okay, I'll talk about lot 143 Montgomery Lane first. I think we talked about this the last meeting in July. This house is on the east side of Montgomery Lane, right adjacent to LMC Greenbelt. And they had originally said they were going to have a dispersion trench, but just for a portion of the hard surfaces. And it's gone back and forth a few times. I haven't seen anything final yet, but I did talk to the designer for the job, and what they were deciding they were going to do, well, LMC had offered to let them have an easement to discharge into the green belt so they could have dispersion for all of it, but they didn't want to go through that step. So the last I heard from the designer was they were just going to elevate the house to be able to drain out to Montgomery, which they could do as long as they had some BMPs prior to that. So I'm sorry, I didn't check on the website to see if the county had approved a permit, but I haven't seen anything in the way of a new submittal on that one.
Okay.
The new review that you just got that Deborah mentioned is for 183 Rainier Lane, and that's on the east side of Rainier, to the north of the Rainier Oak Bay Greenbelt. And these people are proposing to do downspout dispersion for half of the roof surfaces, which they have enough vegetated area to accomplish that. And then the west part of the roof and the driveway, they're proposing to discharge to the county drain ditch but directly discharge it. And of course, you know, per the county rules, they have to do some BMPs, like a stub out connection and dispersion of the hard surfaces. So that's what my comment on the letter is.
Okay.
So that's the minimum requirement number 5?
Yes. Yeah. That's okay. Having low impact development BMPs. Yep.
Okay. We only get to officially visit with you once a quarter. Is there anything else that has come up that you think Deborah and I should know about?
No. I'm sure in your comments back here, you'll talk about those people who have contacted you about drainage on Helm and Pioneer.
Pioneer, generally, yes, and I'll explain why.
Okay.
All right.
So that's the only other thing I've been doing.
All right. Thank you. Next item is new business. We now have 3 items. I believe that all 3 of those will be covered by Commissioner 3. So, Deborah, go ahead.
The first item is the position of records retention clerk. So an offer letter was sent out to Mary Paxton. She is one of the applicants whose credentials were reviewed at our last meeting. And just for the benefit of the record, this meeting that Mary has a lot of experience working in both city and county governments, offices where she was responsible for records management. So her skill set definitely is a good match for the position that has been created. She has accepted the position and will start work next week. I think the plan right now is I'll coordinate with Cami when an appropriate day would be to have a conversation with Mary, just kind of get her started. The first thing that we'll be looking at is providing her with some online training specific to the state of Washington. Her previous jobs were in California. So she'll be going through. There's some really good online webinar type of classes that I think will get her up to speed quickly. So.
Excellent.
Yeah, I'm excited to have Mary join us, and she seems excited, and I think with Tammy's help, we'll be able to get her headed down the path quickly of getting our records organized. Excuse me. So the second item is retainer for payroll and account management services. And, of course, the reason for needing this is that the county again, this was discussed at our last meeting, but the county is changing their accounting services that they're providing to small districts as they move over into a new financial system, and they will no longer be providing us with accounts statements every month showing where our expenditures were processed against, which accounts. So not only do we now have payroll with the addition of our records retention clerk, but we also need a an accounting bookkeeping service to help us track our different expenditures against our budget. And so I tried to speak with three companies. One didn't return my call, but I did speak with two different payroll bookkeeping companies. And I chose those versus CPAs because our experience with the CPA company before was that after a while they felt that their business directives were not in direct match with what our needs were. So I found a company in Port Townsend. The company name is Flange Financial. The gentleman is Benjamin Flange. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing this right. It's F-A-L-G-E. And he's been extremely helpful in kind of delineating what services he could provide, but also, you know, helping better understand what services are really required by the district. He has a BA in business finance. He's been doing bookkeeping and tax returns for the past 13 years there in Port Townsend. He has about 30 bookkeeping clients and over 80 tax clients. Some of his bookkeeping clients include, he gave me Oak Bay Animal Hospital, Peninsula Home Care Cooperative, a couple of hardware stores, the Economic Development Council of Jefferson County, a few other businesses. So I think based on the information he's provided, which was much more complete and than the other company that I talked to, I would recommend that we move forward with Ben's company. And Chairman Forbes, I had forwarded to you a copy of his retainer letter of what he would do for us, what he will not be responsible for, and then what our obligations are under this retainer. I hope you've had a chance to at least look through that.
That looks good, and I think we can just go forward with a sense of hiring this individual rather than taking a formal vote. I think this is within your level of authority as a commissioner and your purview as basically the administrative, de facto administrative officer. So, yeah, go ahead and see what you can do with them.
Great. And then the agenda item I just added under new business is came out of the fact that during our audit with the state auditor's office, which happens every other year, we have to provide a lot of accounting information, although that's not only what they look at, but they do look at our financial reporting. And we have, the district has two investment accounts, one of them, which is account 040, has been designated as a reserved account, which by definition means that we can only use it for the purpose which it was originally set up for. And with Nancy's help, I was able to find some of the paperwork where this was originally set up back in 2005 as part of the budget process. And the reserve fund was established for capital improvements or building. And it currently has $48,000 plus another $1,100 in accumulated interest. And it's, it does have that restriction on it. And so far, is everyone still there? I just hit a wrong
button. Yes.
So the restrictions that have been put on there, on it, the district has never pulled off of that fund for any capital improvements. And so it seems like a better approach to both streamlining the accounting at the county as well as the reporting to the state is to consolidate that fund with our other investment fund, which is 010, state investment pool. It would be kind of a two-step process to consolidate them. The first one would be through a motion made at a meeting, which would be today, to remove that reserve restriction from this particular account, which is in essence just allowing that money to be pooled with our other resources. And then the second part would be adapting the resolution that Don and Cami, I sent you a copy of late last night, based on the instructions provided to me by the county, treasurer's office and auditor's office. The resolution would give them the authority to close out the 040 account and to move those funds over to the 010 investment account. So it would be one less account to be tracking, both with the state, the county, as well as our own bookkeeping. Of course, the money stay the same. They're actually, right now, they're in the same investment pool. They're just under different accounts. So the amount of interest that they earn and the way they're handled would not change, but we wouldn't have that restriction on that almost $49,000.
That sounds like a good sounds like a good consolidation to make. I'd entertain the motion, but I also don't I didn't get a draft resolution from you. Did you want to also approve the resolution today, or did you want to bring that back for next month's meeting?
Well, let's see. It has to be approved in 2020 in order to be consolidated January 1st of 2021. The county does have a stipulation that they can only consolidate funds when they can't consolidate funds during the year that an account has been active. So the resolution essentially is asking them to consolidate the funds as of January 1st, 2021. So we could sign at any time before the end of the year. I don't know if we'd have to do a special meeting to do that since our November and December meeting agendas are set.
Well, if you or Cami could go ahead and just forward that copy of that resolution to me right now. This is all pretty straightforward, so I'll take a quick peek at it, and then we'll take
it's three sentences, Don, so you'll be able to to read it. So, Cami, if you could send that over to Don, that would be perfect. I appreciate it.
I'll do it right now.
Okay, thank you. So to move forward on this, I would make a motion, and Cami, I will provide you the wording of this motion. I'll repeat it as many times as needed, but I will provide you the wording. I make a motion to remove the designation of reserve fund from account 040 as first established by a motion at the November 10th, 2005 commissioner meeting in order to move the current funds in the account to investment account 010.
I'll second. Those in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
All right, motion carried. I still don't have the email, so rather than worry about the direct receipt, if you just go ahead and read the proposed resolution, we'll still go ahead and take action on it.
Okay, a resolution. I'll start reading it.
Oh, down there it is. Thank you, Kim. Yeah.
Oh, okay. So Donna will walk you through it. The first whereas is that at today's meeting, we approved the motion to remove the designation of reserve account from 040, thus lifting restrictions for the use of these funds. And then second whereas, we seek to streamline the processes to ease administrative burden of the district. And then combining two separate accounts into one account would allow for more efficient controls and better management of the district's funds and investments. Now, therefore, the Board of Commissioners direct the Jefferson County Auditor to inactivate Fund 695-001-040. Effective January 1st, 2021, the Jefferson County Treasurer will transfer all funds from this account with any accrued interest to the Port Ludlow Drainage District General Fund 695001-010 State Investment Pool.
Good. And as you were reading that, I did receive it and I read it, so we're fully briefed that respect, so I would entertain a motion to adopt this resolution, a motion to adopt this resolution.
I make a motion to adopt a resolution of combining two district investment accounts into a single account.
Second, those of us in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. Is there anything else under new business?
No, that's all I had.
Sorry. Okay. Let's go on to item number seven then. We have three items under old business, which is item seven, budget planning and approval. I'll come back to that in a moment. Small works roster, and then Jefferson County ordinance adopting drainage district's assessment system. In terms of budget planning and approval, I'll sort of reserve the notion that we would approve today, but it may be a sufficient amount of discussion that we simply note any concerns, questions we have, and adopt next month, and that would still give us time before the end of the year. I would also like for the record to go ahead and just provide a quick overview for the budget discussion. I know we don't have anybody from the public online, but should they listen to the transcript of this and pull down our proposed budget, I think some amount of verification would be helpful for them. So what we're looking at is a proposed budget of around $112,000 for next year, 2021. And I'd like to note that at this point in the life of the district, we are a maintenance operation. We originally formed as to build infrastructure to take care of drainage problems, but that capital improvement or construction portion is essentially behind us, and now we operate and maintain the district. Notwithstanding, however, that we acknowledge that there may be times when we still have to make some improvements, either because we have a system breakage somewhere or there's something literally pops out of the ground that requires us to construct. We have set aside within this $112,000, roughly $28,000 for both engineering and construction of what we're calling capital projects. We also have roughly $2,000 a year of debt service. So of that $112,000, roughly $30,000 doesn't directly have any impacts on operating the business. Our operations are, in fact, $82,000 a year. Further breaking that down into larger chunks, of the $82,000, $68,000 is in direct service, either through private sector consultants or through contractors. And the remaining $14,000 is a combination of admin to manage the district, and that admin would include legal fees, accounting fees, and recording secretary, and now assistant documents clerk. And then roughly $4,600 is the amount to annually manage our meetings, and that includes compensation for commissioners as well as related expenses, directly related expenses to the meeting. So out of $112,000 annual budget, $82,000 of it is directly related to operating our system, and $68,000 of that $82,000 is in direct service through private sector providers. One final note is that in order to fund this operation, we have an assessment that brings in roughly $60,000 a year, and then we have accumulated cash surplus of roughly $250,000. And our intent over the previous 4 or 5 years is, because we held those cash reserves and our spending was less than reserves, so we would set the assessment rate at somewhat less than our annual expenditures. And we knew at some point in the future, unless we made some changes, we would eventually run out of money. But we also wanted to minimize the near-term expense to all of the property owners. So within that 60K assessment, I'd like to make the following notes. First, if we just eliminated the assessment, knowing what our cash reserves are and what our annual expected expenditures are, we would run out of money somewhere in 2023. So that's not a viable option. We need some sort of assessment. If we maintain a $60,000 a year assessment, and we end up spending the capital money that we've set aside, and that is, we have smaller new projects that we need to construct, at the current rate of expenditure with that assessment, we would run out of money at the end of 2024. And is, if we don't spend that capital investment funding, which we've fortunately not had to do in the last several years, but yet maintain the $60,000 assessment, and otherwise our expected annual expenditures, we would run out of money around 2027. So it appears to me that in any event, we maintain, we probably would like to maintain the assessment at around the same figure, that is $60,000 a year, for at least several more years, see where we end up in a combination of potential capital improvements and annual expenditures. So with that overview, I'd ask Nancy or Deborah for further comments relative to the budget, or we'll just have a broader discussion at this point.
I'll go first. One thing that comes to mind for me when looking at the larger picture that you were just describing, Dawn, is that, you know, we do carry forward from year to year, this construction cost for capital projects, $21,000, and you couple that with the engineering number that we have in for capital projects of $7,350. So we essentially carry $28,000 on the books for something that we currently, at least for 2001, have not identified. And so I would like to talk about possible capital expenditures. I think Nancy had supplied a list a while ago of areas to watch. And I correct me if I'm wrong, Nancy, but I interpreted this to be the most, I guess, possibility of where these monies might eventually be spent. I think you have a total of five areas to watch listed out. And for almost all of them, you're just saying that, you know, watch it for a while and kind of see what happens. And some need to be replacement or in the future. So since we're, you know, trying to be kind of prudent in how we spend our money and watching our burn rate, could we start to put a timeline on these areas to watch, prioritize them in terms of, you know, when would be the most likely date that we should start work on them? And in that timeline, include things like, is permitting going to be required? And, you know, is that going to add a year to the schedule? So if we want the work done in 2025, do we have to start the process in 2024 and match the budget accordingly? You know, permitting might cost $5,000 and the actual work might cost $20,000 or something, but that's over 2 years. It just seems more prudent to me if we are going to continue to carry construction capital projects through the budget that we at least have identified what those projects are and have a timeline of when those monies would actually come out. So to the point you just made, Don, you know, if we keep the assessment at $60,000 a year, if we spend down all of our, you know, projects over the next couple of years, we would run out of money 2024. If there's no capital projects between now and then, we'd run out 2027. But I would like to put some project kind of behind that and a timeline behind that so that we're not caught off guard in 1 or 2 years and feel like we didn't plan for this properly.
That's a great notion. And before Nancy steps in, from my perspective, we could do this 1 or 2 ways. Looking at the thought that we may have a 2-year budget at some point, we could know within that we've got some opportunities to identify potential capital projects. I've got feedback from somebody.
Nancy, I'm going to mute you for just a minute because of the feedback, and I'll on. Oh, okay, it's gone away.
Okay. So one way to do it is just if we continue to gravitate toward a 2-year budget, we could just simply show capital costs for 2 years and then expect the capital costs. So one way would be to continue to explicitly show that in a budget and know what that's for. The other would be just to eliminate it from our budget, but put in an engineering note that says, notwithstanding that we don't show any capital, expected capital costs, here are the things that could come up and expected timeframes. So that would give us a little bit more latitude. And again, this is a budget we can always step in if we need to under emergency circumstances and elect to draw money in order to do engineering and construction for capital. So it may be more straightforward for people who wonder why we're holding this money and we never spend if we just eliminate it from the budget and put in a budget note with the engineering timeframes and expected needs.
Go ahead, Nancy.
Well, I, Deborah, I think your idea is excellent because the thing we don't want to do is to be caught short. And, you know, when we had a list of CIP projects and dates, then you can plan accordingly. So I think that's a great idea, and I'll put that together. And then we can go from there. I mean, I don't foresee anything next year, but the other thing you don't want to do is, you know, have a huge increase in rates at some point, kind of on a, you know, a knee-jerk reaction. So I'll put that together.
Okay, so with that input from Nancy, if she puts together kind of a timeline for these projects that have been identified, and of course we all also know that there are things that might crop up that haven't been identified, but again, I think you're right, Dawn, that would fall under more emergency. But then I would agree with you, Dawn, that for this year, 2021, we just take it out, knowing that once we have this timeline from Nancy and we can look at 2021 as sort of a planning year of when do we start putting that money back in.
So we would eliminate the line item for capital improvements of $21,000, and then it doesn't show it directly on our budget, but under rather than sit here and look for it, at $7,300 for expected engineering for capital projects. So we would eliminate both of those items, which reduces us roughly $28,000.
Right.
And would there be any other adjustments that we propose that you're seeing, Deborah, that you propose to make, or would, with that note, would we go ahead and just adopt our budget now?
Well, a couple of things, not really changing the numbers, but Nancy, it came up during our state audit that there was some question as to our practice of paying commissioners compensation based on them being classified as consultants versus employees. And so I've reached out to this was brought up by the state auditor, and you know, it's a practice that we've had for years and years trying to understand why it's just now coming up. And it was brought up as a it was not in the audit report. You won't see it anywhere except I think there was an exit letter that it was mentioned. And then I had a discussion with the auditor since it has been a practice for many years. And the question is whether we now need to move the commissioner meeting dollars, which we have about 5,000 of it, if we need to tease out the compensation to the commissioners and move that up to payroll. And I don't have an answer on that yet, Dawn. So I had forwarded you a copy of that exit letter showing that question, and I had said I was researching and have more information at this meeting, but unfortunately, I don't have more information. I'm still waiting for some clarification. I've reached out to a couple of different organizations to try to help me understand why it's come up now. The only thing that kind of makes sense to me is that prior to, well, through our 2017 audit information that we sent, we always did have a salary number, and it was usually around $6,000-$7,000 because we had a part-time employee. So this is the first 2 years of reporting, and the audit is done every other year. So this audit covered 2018, 2019, and we showed zero salary. So it could be that this was the first time that the auditor actually looked at, okay, if you've gone from $7,000 a year and now you're saying zero, but you still have commissioners, how are you paying the commissioners? So I have a couple of calls in to different people, a couple of emails asking for some clarification. So until I know the answer to that, I don't think we could submit the budget to the county commissioners because of the classification. And I think that's the only other item that I had, Dawn, that makes me think the budget isn't quite ready to put together.
Okay. And I agree.
It doesn't
with
change the number. That. It doesn't change the number, but it does change the allocation and how it would be presented to the county commissioners.
Yeah, and a formal budget approval, even though we're just simply moving where the numbers are, we'll want to make sure that we get as close as we can before we formally submit it. So I agree with your notion to move that into our November meeting, the budget approval, and hopefully we'll have answers by then.
Okay.
I'm
just curious if Nancy has any, you work with other districts, if you have any insight as to the commissioner pay, and maybe Cammie as well, since you work with the PUD.
I don't, and it's a good question. So what I'm hearing on changing on the budget is we take off the capital projects, the engineering for capital projects, and wait to hear if we move commissioner compensation to payroll. Is that about it?
Yes.
Yes. Excuse me, Deborah, but I'd also like to I was going to just follow up with the comment that I made earlier, and that is it would be nice to append our budget with an engineering overview of what we expect for potential capital expenditures in what year and what elements of infrastructure.
Yeah, we can do that. And then $60,000 assessment. Is that correct?
Well, I think so. I'm not speaking for Deborah. That seems to give us as much as a five-year window to see how expenditures really go. And then if we find before the end of 5 years that we need to bump our assessment back up a little bit, then we can maybe step it up. But it gives us an opportunity to see what's actually going to occur before we make any decisions relative to that. So I'm happy with $60,000 a year.
I agree with that. I think it's a good number.
Okay.
Okay, I'll get a list together of CIPs and a schedule and kind of at ballpark costs and make those changes to the budget spreadsheets and get that to you.
Great.
Excellent. Thanks, Nancy. Anything else on this one before we go to item B under old business? All right, item B is a small works roster, resolution 2020-4. And I think this is your overview, Deborah.
Yes. So I'm just looking, since the budget planning I had is resolution 2020-3, but I put in, okay, so just mostly for Cammie, the resolution we just passed regarding consolidating two accounts, that is going to be 2020-3. The budget I'll renumber prior to the November meeting. And then, yes, this one will stay, small works roster will stay 2020-4. Did you get that, Cammie?
I did. Thank you.
Okay. So, just a little bit of background, since this is something that we had been talking about, I think going back to our July meeting. When we did publish the small works ad in the Port Townsend paper, and at that point I'd been interested in looking closer at using a service for small works roster, and I was researching that, and as I was researching it and had a lot of information coming back and forth between MRSC and myself, I realized I was really asking them the wrong question, because I was asking them whether we could participate in their small works roster program, and they were saying, well, yes, you can, and they would send me paperwork and everything was all about municipalities, and I would write back and say, you know, can we tailor this to, you know, the district a little bit more? And it finally kind of dawned on me that the question I should be asking is it appropriate or is it necessary for the district to be a part of that program, and if not, why not? And that's when I started to get information that as a drainage district, we did not need to have a small works roster program, whether it was a shared program or an internal program, it was not required. And so in conversations with our legal group, they confirmed that, and they drafted a resolution which clarifies the public works contracting procedures to be used by the district. So that is what Resolution 2020, Nancy just dropped off. Don,
okay,
Cammy,
I'm still on.
Are you still here? Cammy, you're still here?
I'm here.
Cammy, do you have a second phone? Could you call Nancy and find out if she intentionally dropped off?
I don't have a second phone.
Okay.
I can go off of this one. Well, I don't want to do that. So,
oh, yeah. Could you send an email to her quickly?
Yep, I can do that.
All right. Appreciate it.
Yep.
So Don, this resolution essentially gives us two directives. Oh, she just came back.
I'm sorry. Yeah,
that's
I just hung myself up.
Okay, all right. So we were just asking Cammy to send you an email to find out if you knew you were no longer on the call, but it's great to have you back. So I was just, again, clarifying, Don, you've seen this resolution, and I'd just like you to comment if you have any questions or thoughts on this particular resolution. And just one other point I'll make is that the district has never had a resolution of how to deal with small works types of contracts. So this is not replacing something that has been formalized in the past. This is a new resolution or a resolution on a new topic.
Correct. I have read it, and actually I think the two tenets of the resolution, A, under the contracting requirements, and then B, which identifies other requirements, I think those are both well-written and accurately state where I think we should be.
So I would like to make a motion to approve Resolution 2020-04, a resolution of Port Ludlow Drainage District clarifying public works contracting procedures.
I'll second. Those of us in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Motion carried. And then on to, let's see, I'm clicking some of these off as I'm talking, getting back to the agenda. I think the next item is also yours.
Yes, before we move to that, just note for anybody listening to the recording that both of the resolutions that we have passed at today's meeting will be posted on the website probably within a week. All right. I just put under old business 7C, the Jefferson County Ordinance 06-0817-20, which was adopting the drainage district's assessment system. Again, this had been in previous meeting minutes, and the assessment paperwork came back to us. The commissioners, they had a public meeting regarding this, and they have accepted the assessment, which really is not a change. I think this assessment methodology has been in place for at least 8 years. So it's a continuation of past methodology, and it is now formal and accepted by the county, and it will be reviewed again in another 4 years. So, Nancy, I don't know if you want to add to that since you were the principal working with the county on this.
No, I think that's all accurate. And they do have to do this reapproval every 4 years by law.
Yeah.
Thank you, Deborah. Anything else under old business?
I don't have anything.
Not in that case, I'll go ahead and go forward with commissioners' reports and comments. And if it's all right, Deborah, I'll begin because I have the least amount of things to say that are relevant to the direct mandate of the district itself. And the reason I say that is that, as we all know, part of the service we provided to attempted to provide to the community is just kind of the first line of response, because any given homeowner, if they have a question about drainage on their property, they could go to the county, they could go to us, they could go to LMC, and we've taken it upon ourselves in concert with Kim at the Beach Club to just be the first entity that responds and tries to direct the homeowner to the particular entity that is directly responsible. And so with that as a kind of a prologue, I have had a number of contacts that property owners that I've worked with over the last 2 or 3 months, but as it turns out, none of them directly were related to the maintenance of our infrastructure. So either they didn't impact us or what we were doing didn't directly impact them. And several Nancy's helped me out on, and she mentioned two of those, one up on Pioneer and one on Helm. But again, they weren't anything that we were directly responsible for, and we just tried to provide that public service of directing them to where they needed to go. So, hence, that's the reason I didn't have a written report any time that that I have something that I coordinate on and that directly relates impacts or results from our infrastructure. I'll make a formal report so we have that for our record. That's the extent of what I have to offer at this point.
So do you want me to proceed with my report and let Nancy have some comments? So some of this is redundant, but I'm just going to make sure I get it all noted. And again, Cammie, I do have a written report. I sent this to you earlier. If you have any questions, of course, you can just give me a call or ask for clarification. So just to confirm that the state audit report for a review for 2018-2019 that is complete. That report can be seen on the state auditor's office website. It's pretty easy to find if anybody, again, who might be listening to this in the future. It's just under Port Ludlow Drainage District. It was good to hear that the cost will be $700 rather than the estimated $1,550. So we do have a little bit of a savings there. The invoice for that will be issued sometime in October, so that'll be on our November voucher summary. It was through conversations with the auditor. Oh, and by the way, the report just says there were no findings of concern. So, but in conversation with the auditors, that's where the discussion came of removing the designation of reserve fund to a general fund, which we just took care of. The commissioner's compensation payment, which is still under review. And then the other thing that the auditor did bring up is just to let us know that the state does have a credit card contract with U.S. Bank, which allows for small districts such as us to have a no-fee controlled credit card. And the reason that was brought up is because we have in the past had the practice that commissioners will purchase items for the benefit of the district and then get reimbursed for that. And the auditor didn't say there was anything wrong with that and just said that it's not as clean of a paper trail as we might have if we were to get a credit card. So I'm not advocating for that. I'm just putting that in the record that the that did come up. And then I wanted to note that the assessment methodology that we just mentioned under old business, that did cost the district a little over $5,000. And there was no change to the methodology used. So that $5,000 was the big cost, of course, was putting together the mailings that went out to every homeowner, property owner within the boundaries of the district. There was quite a bit of money to the county, $1,700, for their involvement in, you know, putting together the paperwork, et cetera, running an ad. And so we hadn't budgeted for that. It had kind of fallen through the cracks. So that $5,000, I split it between general engineering, that even though a lot of it was definitely administrative work, it was performed by Nancy's company. So I put it under general engineering as Nancy had on her invoice. And then the county work I put under unanticipated engineering costs, that $1,700. So it's one of the things that with this record retention clerk, I'll be asking Mary to help us put together a calendar of what reports, what processes we have to do. A lot of them are every other year, and in this case, every 4 years. So it's kind of easy to lose track of them, but a district calendar might help us with that. And then the other kind of question I need to research on this is who is actually responsible for initiating the original memos from the county seem to indicate that they had let it fall through the cracks, but then in the cover letter to us, when they sent a signed copy from the commissioner's meeting, they made it very clear that we should have been initiating it and that we should have started the process sooner. So I'll look at if there's a procedure or a directive or something that we can put together of how to do this, how to go about doing it. And then the other just small thing that came out of the assessment methodology process was that a lot of homeowners questioned the mailing address that was used. There were like four or five that Nancy responded to, that it is not the drainage district that keeps a record of people's addresses, spelling of their names, et cetera, but we are pulling those directly off of the county records. So anyone who has a concern about the way the address was written or the spelling, they need to, and Nancy directed them back to the county to make sure the county records, I guess it would be their tax roll records. Is that right, Nancy, that needed to be corrected?
Yeah, it comes off the tax roll, yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, and then just a couple of things that are going to be involved and that either already been started or will be started here shortly in the retaining of the financial bookkeeping payroll company is we will be reactivating the payroll tax accounts, which, again, I'm kind of waiting to find out if it's just going to be for our one employee or if that's also going to include all the commissioners. But all of our payroll tax accounts for the district have been shut down, and so reopening them turns out to be a little bit more work than I would have thought, but that's okay. Ben will be creating a QuickBooks account, what he calls a dummy QuickBooks account, used for monitoring our expenses. And I think in a lot of ways it will give us more flexibility for creating reports and tracking our costs than what was provided by the county auditor. So I had talked about an Excel spreadsheet, and Ben was the one that said, no, let's just put it into QuickBooks because he can run so many different reports. And he can also, I think, might be a really big help when we're putting together budget in subsequent years, that you can actually use the QuickBooks to run some budget numbers, and it might help the process in that regards. The records retention clerk, there are a couple of expenditures that are going to come with that. The district has to supply a computer at first. I know the practice before when we had a part-time employee was that employee used her home computer, but I've been told by a couple of HR specialists that's really a poor practice. And when I look at some of the directives from archiving and records retention sites with the state archives, it's pretty clear that's a poor practice. So we do have a very old computer, which I will be assigning to Mary to start using. But both Cammy and I have attempted to use that computer, and it is really, really slow, very outdated. So I will start search for a basic computer with enough speed and memory to take care of what we need. Doesn't have to stream movies or anything. So I think we can have a pretty basic laptop computer, but that's probably going to cost the district around $500. An email address is being put together for Mary, and I'll let everyone on this call know what that is as soon as it's set up with Jason. Cammy is, of course, we'll have to put together a fee schedule for this, but for organizing the files and the current file storage, Mary will be coordinating that with Cammy for use of her Port Ludlow office. And this project, this records retention clerk, just to clarify for everybody, this is a project-driven job description where Mary will be reviewing state training for retention and archiving of files, both electronic and paper. She'll be organizing our existing papers and cataloging, but her real goal is to identify and set up an electronic record retention cross-referencing retrieval system. This will allow us to be a little bit more, I guess, an example I would give is when we have minutes of the meeting, there are lots of times where the minutes will reference another document or something that was reviewed, and we're going to try to have some kind of a cross-referencing. So if you're reading the minutes of the meeting, and it references the county, you know, methodology assessment work that we just did, you could click on a link and be taken to that document that we're referencing. And then as time allows, another part that Mary will be working on is organizing emails. The problem with our emails is they've become not just a means of communication, but they also have become, and not just for us, for everybody, a means of sending some pretty large documents back and forth. And so right now, and we have to keep them because we're commissioners, we have to keep them. So we might have, you know, four or five versions of a document, whether it's the memorandum of understanding that we put together with the LMC a few years ago. You know, there are just so many versions of that that went back and forth. And every email, when you say thank you, that carries forward. So you end up with a lot of different reiterations of kind of the same information. And so there are some pretty good guidelines on the state sites of how to better utilize transferring files using email or even other types of more like Google Share, a couple of other cloud-based things where we're not just ending up with 4,000 emails that are not organized at all. So that's something that I think Mary will have some good ideas for us to share in a few months. And then the last thing, I just wanted to review the county financials. There was a mistake made in their August recording. The refund from our legal group was actually credited to our engineering group. So, Nancy, you got credited about $400, $600, but it got taken away in September, so it was put back into the right vendor site. And then also just making a note that the second half of the county taxes are due in October, so that should bring in another $32,000 to the district over the next month or so. So we'll see a big jump in our cash. So on the back of the agenda, page 2 of the agenda, I had summarized the July, August, and September quarterly financial or monthly financial reports, giving that kind of a quarterly overview. This all came from the county treasurer. And Nancy, based on a question you had not too long ago, we are now posting these quarterly reports on the website. So when you go under records, you'll see the minutes, you'll see the resolutions, and you'll also see the quarterly financials. So anyone
Thank you.
Can look at the cash availability that we have. And so just to Cami, this information is on page 2 of the agenda, but right now the district has $224,645 total in our accounts, and that was kind of a combination of what was there at the end of September and then taking out the invoices that we'll be voting on here in a few minutes under consent agenda. And that concludes my activities report.
Thank you, Deborah. That's as if we didn't already know just how much you've done for us over the last month. That report was affirmation that you've done a stunning amount of work to streamline our operations, confirm some of the things that were occurring. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
Any other comments relative to commissioners' reports? I will go on to consent agenda. We have two items. I'll go through those briefly, but we will take both together as a singular motion when that time comes. Under the first item, we will review and approve special meeting minutes during September. One was for the normally scheduled meeting to approve vendor invoices, and then the second one was meeting to discuss the applicants for our records clerk. And so we'll approve both meetings for both those minutes. And then, as Deborah referenced a few minutes ago, we'll approve vouchers and warrants. Those vouchers from 20-056 through 062 total $6,808.71. And to briefly summarize those, there's roughly $576 to Jefferson County. Our general engineering consultant, $3,740. We placed the public notice in the leader. That's $29. Yard dogs who provided the maintenance on district facilities, $1,542. Peninsula Legal Services, our secretarial services, $333. Ogden Murphy, who are legal counsel, $226, and then Commissioner 3 compensation for the quarter of $360. And again, I rounded those off, but the totals are $6,808.71. So unless there is some discussion, I'd entertain a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
I'll second. Those of us in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
Okay, aye. That agenda is approved, and we have but two more items. One of them is signing the documents. That will be done electronically within the next 5 business days, so that will take no other meeting time today, and unless there's any other comments for the good of the district, I'll ask for meeting adjournment, which is item number 11. So I have a motion to adjourn.
I make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I'll second. Those of us in favor signify by saying aye. Aye.
Aye.
All right, we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone. It's great to hear your voices again. And with the possible exception of Nancy, we'll talk again in a month.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.